of prostitution.
Of prostitution.
And it's trying.
And it's trying.
To use me as well.
To use me as well.
Or to get me off course.
To get me off course.
So I rejoice.
So I rejoice.
That I have ears that hear.
That I have ears that hear.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
And Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit.
I want you to get through to me.
I want you to get through to me.
Amen?
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
We're going to Hosea. Hosea.
Pastor, I'm sorry. I have to say one other thing.
Huh?
I have to say one other thing.
Go ahead.
I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think the body needs it, and that is I want to thank the Lord for this before the message last night because it released a weapon I didn't even know I had.
Cool.
And that is the fact that even the condemnation and the crap that the enemy tries to put on us was nailed to the cross.
Yes.
That was in your message last night.
Yes, it was.
Galatians 3:13. I've been using that scripture. Yes.
And that, you know, I don't know where I've seen that or whatever, but I'm internalizing that, and I started using it this morning. Because when it comes around, it's like, I don't have to take this. I don't have to fight this in the natural. I'm not really that way. It's that we have to stand on our grace. It said, that was already paid for. Get out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you look at Hosea, I would recommend that you take time when you have time. Now, it may not be today. It may not be this week. But the book of Hosea has an incredible message about the church.
Oh, that's a powerful one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want you to see in Hosea chapter 2, I'm going to use different spots because I don't want to tie us up for many, many hours because that's not the game of the game. That's not the name of the game. What is hopefully going to open your eyes is to see what has happened so we can learn from it. Verse 9 says, therefore I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen, intended to cover her nakedness. This is speaking about Israel. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hand. Verse 11. I will stop all her celebrations. Her yearly festivals. Her new moons. Her Sabbath days. And this is the trigger. All her appointed feasts.
Just a moment.
Scary, isn't it?
Yes.
Who's taking it away?
The Lord.
The Lord is doing it.
I will ruin her vines. Mm-hmm. You heard about whose a vine is.
Mm-hmm.
And her fig trees, with an S, which she said were her pay for her lovers.
Mm-hmm.
I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to Baals, or to the Baals. This part, don't take it the wrong way now. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I'm now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert. Dry places, and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and will make the valley of trouble, or Achor, a door of hope. So trouble will be difficult, but it's going to become a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, and as in the days she came up out of Egypt. Notice the similarity that's happening in the earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Pastor Jay on Monday saying how he's been meeting, and he shared with me that he's on the Skype. often with different rabbis in Jerusalem and connecting again this fall, what opened the door for us to go and join him. Verse 16. In that day, you should have a circle around in that day, because it speaks of now, declares the Lord. You will call my husband. Isn't that cool, huh? You will call me my husband. Are you not the bride?
Yeah.
Amen.
You will no longer call me my master. When you have a master, there's not much of a relationship. And the love flow is very, very one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a husband and you're the bride, there's going to be some makeup time.
Mm-hmm.
And make out time.
Mm-hmm.
I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. Notice it's I will.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything changed? No. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make covenant for them with the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you. I've got blotted out. What's the word there?
Betrothed you to me.
To me.
Okay, to me forever. Mm-hmm. I was using a black marker and it created a mess. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice. There's your righteousness again from Romans 5.
Yeah.
In love and compassion, I will betroth you in faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And you will acknowledge the Lord. 21, in that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the sky, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain and the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her to myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. When I read verse 21 and 22, I was very aware of the vision about the plane and the helicopter.
Oh.
Because it's got that message.
Yeah.
The heavens coming down. Chapter 3. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again. Notice he was married to prostitute, and it was his instructions. Though she loves one, she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods, and love the sacred raisin cakes, etc. Which that was another whole teaching. I don't want to go there. So I want you to skip down to chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns. So when there's idolatry in the land itself has a price that it's paying. And all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the fields and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So he's talking about his people. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the church. And he says very clearly, so I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's still going on right now. Mm-hmm. And we think we've got all the answers, but my Holy Spirit brought this guy to bring us a deposit, like he brought Dr. Pastor Jay on Monday. Deposits. Deposits by God to us. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you are ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priests increased, the more they sinned against me. They exchanged their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness. That's happening mm-hmm. now yeah. in churchianity. And it will be like people like priests. Mm-hmm. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not increase. No pregnancy, no birth. Got it? Because they have deserted the Lord, the purpose of the elimination of birth, because you have deserted the Lord. To give themselves to prostitution. The old wine and the new, which take away the understanding of my people. You want to go into darkness? Go out and prostitute yourself. They consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. Verse, right now, this particular verse, this aspect, I want you to very much put a circle in that area right now. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray.
What?
Verse 12, halfway.
12b.
Halfway, yeah, 12b. Oh,
okay.
A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. You'll also call it spiritual adultery. Mm-hmm. You're going to find it confirmed in chapter 5, verse 4. Okay? And it goes on. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills, under oak and poplar and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughter-in-laws to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughter-in-laws when they commit adultery. Because, notice it again, the headship. Mm-hmm. Because the men themselves consort with harlots mm-hmm. and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. That's male and female prostitution. Yeah. There's your homosexuality on both sides. Mm-hmm. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Mm-hmm. Though you commit adultery, Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not go up to Beth Aven. Do not swear as the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives. The Israelites are stubborn, like a stubborn heifer. How then can the Lord pasture them? Like a lamb in the meadow, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. Notice again the headship. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them shame. Who's the whirlwind?
The Amplified says, "Oh, God's wrath."
Yes.
The whirlwind is good.
The whirlwind is really the Holy Spirit. Okay? And he's going to bring justice. He's going to bring a change by the power of himself, not you and me trying to perform it.
That, again, was something that was brought out in the prophecy. I will purify.
Yes.
That's all into that.
It's connected.
Yeah.
Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. So don't look at the priesthood that you're understanding. Look at yourself. Listen, O royal house, this judgment is against you. Mm-hmm. You have been a snare at Mizpah, mm-hmm. a net spread out at Tabor. The rebels are deep in slaughter, and I will discipline all of them. Notice I. Mm-hmm. So it's not you that's going to do the disciplining. The Lord. I know all about Ephraim. Israel is not hidden from me. Ephraim, you have now turned to prostitution. Israel is corrupt. Verse 4, important. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, so they have to start by humbling themselves. A spirit of prostitution is in their hearts. That one should give you a real understanding. So put that one in there, because if you don't underline that, it's gone from the outside to the inside. Sometimes you have something in your head, but it's not in your heart. Right now, the spirit of prostitution has gone from the outside to the inside, and they are in full spiritual adultery, spirit, soul, and body. They do not acknowledge the Lord. Israel's arrogance testifies against them, and the Israelites, even Ephraim, stumbles in their sin. Judah also stumbles with them. When they go with their flocks and herds, they seek the Lord. They will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. Is that today? Mm-hmm. Or is that what happened?
Today.
It's today.
It's today, but it's also what happened. It's
both. Yeah.
It's both. Yeah. They are unfaithful to the Lord. They give birth to illegitimate children. Now their new moon festivals will devour them and their fields. Sound the trumpet in Gibeah, the horn of Ramah. Raise the battle cry at Beth Aven. Lead on, O Benjamin. Ephraim will be laid waste on the day of reckoning among the tribes of Israel. I proclaim what is certain. Judah's leaders are like those who move boundary stones. I will pour on out my wrath on them. I will pour out my wrath on them. Like a flood water, Ephraim is oppressed, trampled in judgment, intent on pursuing idols. I am like a moth to Ephraim, like the rot of the people of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his sores, then Ephraim turned to Assyria and sent to the great king for help. But he is not able to cure you, not able to heal your sores. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim. There's your lion of Judah. Like a great lion of Judah. Isn't that cool? I will tear them to pieces and go away. I will carry them off with no one to rescue them. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt. Until they admit their guilt. You better underline that part, because that's what you and I need to pray for. That they will find the gift of humility. That they will have the grace to humble themselves. And they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. In their misery. What if misery was not allowed? So there's a season for all of us sometimes to go through something in order for God to get us to chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. Notice it's he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. That's the church and Israel. After 2 days, 2,000 years, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us. Isn't that good news? Amen. That we may live in his presence.
Amen. That's part of that.
Yes. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains. Why the winter rains? Like the spring rains that water the earth. Why the winter rains? Because Israel has almost no rain the rest of the seasons. Israel gets water from the snow that comes down and from the winter rains that freeze for a season and then it lets up. What can I do with Ephraim? Verse 4. What can I do with Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces to my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That should be underlined. Verse 6 should be underlined. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. An acknowledgement of God rather than a burnt offering. Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there. And so on. I've given you enough ammunition to let you see that that spirit of prostitution uses both Israel and the church. That spirit of prostitution is so sneaky that it looks good, smells good, sounds good, and is enjoyable.
Can you define when you say the church, both in Israel and the church? What do you define as the church in that use?
Well, I believe that when you see the church, and I call that into churchianity as well. It's one church. He doesn't have a divided body. He has different parts. Different parts of the body were designed to do certain works. Okay? And just a few months ago, the Lord gave me a dream because I was upset. And of course, my emotions got the best of me. And I said something that I shouldn't have spoken. And I did confess it to the Lord as sin. It was a sin. Because he gave me the dream the night afterwards. And he showed me that the hands of the church are the workers. The feet of the church are where she walks. Okay? And years ago, Kenneth Copeland was quite upset about churches. And the Lord gave him a dream, and it came back to me. And he said, in a large family, you're going to have all kinds of children. Okay? I come from a 21 in my family. So we've got all kinds. We've got adulterers. We've got prostitution. We've got addicts. We've got drug addicts, alcoholics, and womanizers, and women that went after men. It doesn't matter. They're all part of the family. He said, how many would you throw away? How many would you reject? Because they had a season in the wild, whatever wild happens to be. Which ones would you stop praying for?
None.
Because your love flow as a father or as a mother is what? Unconditional. Your heavenly father doesn't look at the church and its flaws any more than God looked at Abraham and his lies, which you heard about last night. So he corrected me because he says, those that are doing my work in hospitals, all kinds of different agencies giving out, pushing themselves to give and to supply for the needy. Are you able to do that? No, Lord, we don't have those resources. But the ones I've given the resources to are doing the best they can, even in their carnality. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So obviously I made a commitment to repent. What are you doing when you're tearing down the body? When you're tearing down another part of the church? Whatever aspect it is. Whether they're in the religious realm or not, they are the hands and feet. They are the leg muscles. Some of them might be giving under the wrong reasons or for the wrong reasons. You see there in Hosea, all the tribes ended up doing something stupid. They started off with 12 tribes, right? Did he throw any of them away? No. So our commitment is to ask the Holy Spirit to open their eyes, like you and I may see more than we used to. Okay? If we see more than they used to, is it our job to go ahead of them and plow the garbage away? I can remember, don't know if it was in an afternoon session or in the morning session, we had one of the intercession groups at Grace Church, and we were in the chapel. And I don't know if anybody here was there that night, but I remember the Holy Spirit giving me a vision to tell everybody to stand in the middle. We might have been 25 people. Stand in the middle, back to back, and put your hands like this towards the wall that you were facing. And I remember saying to them, I don't want you to pray in English. I want you to pray in tongues because this is big. I don't know what God's going to do, but this is big. And you're going to push all the way to the wall. And when you get your hands on the wall, I want you to stay there until you get a release. And you're going to feel the release inside your heart. So they all agreed, we're going to do this. Were you there? You were there.
Yep.
Okay. You were there. We pushed into the wall. All of us walking slowly with praying in the Spirit. We got our hands on the wall. And I saw in the heavenlies these huge blocks. They were like when my dad used to work in the granite quarries. Some of those blocks were probably about 7 to 10 feet wide, and some of them maybe 18 to 20 feet long. And I saw them pushing back like this, all the way back. And then the heavens opened, and there was a stench that came. And many of them remember that stench. It smelled like you had opened up a cellar that had not been... It was just dead. Yeah. Horrible, dead smell. I picked up on it, and I said, oh my God, we've opened up something. But I didn't know what. Okay? So, we didn't say anything more. We just kept on interceding, and then all of a sudden it was like, it's done. So there was a young man that would come and he would play the organ for us, or the, I don't remember if it's a keyboard or the piano or whatever. But
I think it was a keyboard.
I think it was a keyboard, yeah. And that night, okay, now we hadn't spoken to anything. He says, this is weird. I feel so different. Because he wasn't with us. He starts playing all these old songs. I mean, oldies in the Lord. You know, nice, beautiful songs from maybe 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago. And I said to the Lord, oh my God. And we worshiped the Lord with all those old songs. And the Lord said to me, you have opened up. These that prayed these prayers years ago when this building was built, and you've set the captives free, and their prayers are going to manifest now. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going crazy. How can this be? How can there be such a caption of a covering of that? Because it was huge blocks, you know, and these were not 6 inches thick. These were huge blocks because I saw them. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're up to, but somehow somebody got seduced and those prayers were sealed. I learned later that the woman who actually dedicated that piece of land was a lady, do you remember her name? Because you saw her in the spirit more than once.
I do not.
Okay, I don't remember. Her name is not important. But I know that when we went to somebody's celebration at the church in Agawam, right, you said, that's the woman I saw. And her picture is on the wall at Bethany. Okay? What you don't know is that God was using us, a simple little group, breaking open something that had been sealed and couldn't be touched until intercessors came to break it open. What is he doing? What is our job? Our job is as intercessors and as priests before God to offer up what? Prayers and what?
Praise and worship.
Praise and worship. And what else?
Spiritual sacrifices.
Spiritual sacrifices pleasing to our God to get to what needs to be done here. And took a flight. I shared your... So you can repeat to them what I... I repeated what you told me, that you went over a city.
Yes, yes. I was flying like an eagle, and I saw a city. Escape.
You saw a city?
Yeah. I'm not sure what city.
It's not sure, but chances are, since you were here, to me, you went up in the heavens. And you might have circled around, which is possible. Is it important to know which city? No. What's important is that you saw the vision, you saw the reality of what we were supposed to do. So I shared that with the people because I felt it was important. Also, what I can tell you is, a few weeks or months after, because there was a new freedom in the whole church that we saw manifest in the days and weeks ahead after that experience, several people were freed up. Their families were freed up because we had done the work that needed to be done for that region and for that time. About, I'm guessing, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I don't remember. My brother calls me. He says, business is so dead. You know, he says, I don't know. He says, there's something going on. He says, I've never seen it this bad. I just had to lay off all my butchers and my professional people, and it's not very pleasant. Could you come down? So I said, well, let me check my schedule and blah, blah, blah. And a few days later, I finally had 3 days where I could leave, and I went. I get to his house, and we started to pray and asking God for direction, because this is no fun, you know. You've got no funds coming in and no workers. And he said, nobody's even showing up to have their animals killed. And this is the fall season, and this is when, you know, we make extra money. So, Lord. So I went to bed that night, and around 2, 3 o'clock, I woke up, and the Lord said, go for a walk. So I went for a walk, and from his house, it was probably about a mile and a half where the slaughterhouse was at that time, because he lived in the town. I'm standing at the end of a dead end, praying in the spirit in my pajamas, saying, God, I don't know what you're going to do here, but, and all of a sudden I heard, there's blocks in the way. And I had an instant recall of those huge granite pieces. And I thought, okay. So the next morning, I had written it down. I know what to do, but I don't know when. Okay? So we went to church. We went out to dinner. We came back to his house around 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, Kim, what's happening? He says, did you get anything? I said, oh, yeah. So I went and got my pad and we sat down. And I read to him what God had given me at 2 or 3 in the morning. He said, we better do that now. I said, what are we going to do? He said, we got to get rid of those blocks. I said, okay. I said, are you ready to do war? He said, I don't know if I'm ready to do war. I said, well, this is your town. This is your city, not my city. I'm right now from out of town, but I'm willing to drive. And I know what year it was because I remember the car. It was a 93 Buick, maroon, color of that carpet there, blood. We hopped in the car, the three of us. Nicole sat in the back seat, and my brother was on the passenger side, and I'm driving. But I said, I don't know where I'm going, so you better make sure that we drive around the city. So we went around the city of Quantico.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And it's lots of mountains around because this there's like it used to be a lake years and years ago where the city is. We drove and drove and drove, and my brother and I'm holding my hand like this, driving with my right hand, left hand pointing to the area that's to my left of the road. He's on the other side and praying in the Spirit, nothing else, just praying in the Spirit. And in a few places, I could sense there was something we were pushing away. And I said, what we are doing now is like we are a spiritual snow plow. And I said, our hands are plowing open every street and road into your place. Oh, he says, that's fun. But he didn't realize you pay a price. I didn't hit you.
No.
I was nice.
I just did that.
So off we went. Well, his arm was killing him. And he'd kind of slow down and he'd lose the language would stop, you know. And I said, finally, Nicole, I said, would you put your hands on his back? Because he needs support. And so he had never done anything like this before. So anyway, we did all the whole town. We landed in a place where I was born on that upper road. And from that area where I was born, you could see the whole city. And my sister-in-law saw the darkness. She saw the darkness like a cloud. And she says, Kim, it's lifting, it's lifting, it's lifting. And then she began to weep. She began to weep and cry out. So we interceded until maybe 7 or 8 o'clock that night. I came home the following day. And Wednesday afternoon, late, he calls me. He said, I have so much business, I've rehired all my people. They're coming in from the left, from the right, from the north, the south, the east. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I said, are you a happy camper? He said, I couldn't be more joyful. I couldn't be more joyful. I said, then you keep the honor to the Lord. Keep the honor to the Lord. So learning to become an intercessor is simply to obey.
That's right.
The spirit of prostitution would like to keep the church useless, feeling sorry for itself. And that's not a solution. What is a solution is to obey. Any questions?
I have something to share.
Yes, go.
When Peggy was speaking about something that's breaking her, what's breaking in me is control. In me is control. In me is control. In me is